Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 46. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 46. This is God's word. "An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest.' 'Master,' said John, 'we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us.' 'Do not stop him,' Jesus said, 'for whoever is not against you is for you.' As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.' He said to another man, 'Follow me.' But the man replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I'll tell you the main point. It is not possible to be neutral regarding the kingdom of God. It is not possible to be neutral regarding the kingdom of God. If you've ever been to Switzerland, it's a beautiful place. Why is Switzerland so loved by the rest of Europe? Well, because of the timepieces that they make. No, it's not just the wonderful Swiss watches. It's not even just the wonderful Swiss chocolate. It is the fact that when things get dicey in Europe, as they have over and over through the centuries, Switzerland is a place where you can put your valuables because they're not going to get lost in the fighting. And so they are a famous, famous banking center where people trust them to basically look after my stuff while we're fighting here. So the other countries go to war and Switzerland says, "Hey, we're staying out of this. And yes, we'll take your money. And yes, we'll take yours too. Thank you. And if you survive, you may get it back. But you can't be Switzerland." A lot of people sort of envy that neutrality. They would like to live their lives not committed. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, There's no neutrality. And we see that in this passage. Here's the reason why. All of us were his enemies. All of us, by nature, were at enmity against God. I'm going to give you some scripture references. You need to write these down. Romans 5:10. Colossians 1:21. Philippians 3:18. James 4:4. Now, what do those tell us? Well, James 4:4, for example, says, "You adulterous people." What's an adulterous relationship? That's when you're supposed to be committed here, but you're cheating by having a relationship with this person over there. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Wow. So if I just want to be like the world, I don't want to go to hell, but I'd like to fit in and seem normal. Is that bad? What if instead of your goal being normality, your goal was holiness? Your goal was to be like Jesus. Jesus just fit in, didn't he? No, he didn't. And he's on his way to Jerusalem to die for us. And he's been telling his disciples that, and they are not getting it. Romans 5, verse 10. "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" All these verses that I gave you have the same theme in common. You're either God's enemy needing salvation, or you have been saved and now have a relationship with him that is eternal. And it's not based on what we do, it's based on our response to what he has done. He's the one who paid the price. So all of us were his enemies, not because he was out to get us and destroy us, but because our persistent rebellion against him, which is characteristic of all of us and everybody everywhere until they receive new life in Christ. Where do we see it in this passage? Well, to start with, Jesus has just told them in the verses we looked at last time, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. And he went on, if you check the other gospel accounts, to tell them they're going to kill him and he's going to rise again on the third day. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Why? Well, because he spoke in code. No, because it was an unacceptable truth. They did not want to believe that they were following someone who was on his way to the cross, even though he told them, if anyone wants to follow me, he must take up his cross and follow me. He told them repeatedly and explicitly, and they just didn't get it. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you understand what he's talking about? No, it sounds like he's saying he's going to get killed. We can't let that happen. So, their response to Jesus telling them that he's on his way to the cross is that they start arguing among themselves as to which of them would be the greatest. What a bunch of jerks we are. I mean, that's the natural human response, trying to find the pecking order. In every social situation among creatures, dogs do this too. My daughter took my dog to visit one of my sons. He also has a German Shepherd, a male German Shepherd named Thor. It's a fierce-looking animal. And I think that Thor has just about recovered from the humiliation of being beaten up on his own property by my female shepherd. Why did she do that? Because we just need to make it clear who's in charge here. That's what people do. That's what grown-ups do. It's human nature. And it's absolutely contrary to the kingdom of God values. Jesus has told them, I'm going to be killed and then conquer death for you. And they're saying, I don't know what he's talking about. Hey, which of us do you think is going to get top rank next to him? That's hostility toward God. Well, but these guys, I mean, they were now followers of Jesus. Yes, but sometimes they still slipped into their old ways. Take, for example, James and John. When Jesus sent some guys ahead in order to get things ready in Samaria and the village that they were going to be going through on their way to Jerusalem, the Samaritans were like, you're a bunch of Jews going to Jerusalem. We don't want to have anything to do with you. No, you cannot buy from us. So Jesus and the others show up, and the guys are saying, hey, they wouldn't do business with them. John and James have a solution. Shall we call down fire from heaven the way that Elijah did? Come on, let's destroy this village. They don't want to do business with us. Let's put them out of business. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives, but to save. So where is that in the text? Well, it's in the footnote. Because that's in some of the later manuscripts. Well, do you think that's what he said? I think it was something like that. It just says here he rebuked him. Why? Because what they were saying and what they were doing was contrary to why Jesus came. Well, so are you a universalist? You believe everybody's going to heaven? No. There's a sin that's unforgivable, and that is to continue to say no to the Spirit of God. No, 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 no. I will not bow. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to have it my way. Is that hostility toward God? Absolutely. But I want you to understand that's the same basic mindset that characterizes all of us in our natural state. Apart from his saving grace, our response to the law of God is to say, well, I don't know, that fruit looks good. And I've really been curious about it. And I can't imagine a good reason why he would tell me, no, I can't eat that. So I'm just going to have a bite. That's what we've been doing throughout human history. God says, do this and live. And we say, what about this? God says, no, don't do that. Results in death. Death, really? really? I mean, it's not that big a deal, is it? It's not about the fruit. It's about your response to the one who is king. If you are determined that you will not yield, if you continue to resist and continue to resist and continue to resist and continue to resist, you need to know that spiritually you're dead. All of us in our natural state are at enmity against God. Read those verses that I cited. Hear God's voice warning. You're either my enemy or you're my family. Your relationship to the kingdom of God is all about your relationship to Jesus. Are you trusting him?
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Jesus was on a mission that was going to cost him his life. And he knew it and he told them so. And please try to understand, Jesus wasn't risking his life. That would be brave. But Jesus wasn't risking it. Jesus was laying down his life. Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to conquer death. I'm going to rise again on the third day. They just wouldn't believe what he said. But Jesus, knowing what awaited him, it says, resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He set his face like flint. Hard as flint. He was determined, I will do this. He knew what was coming, and he was still going to go ahead. And he did. So how do you respond? Look at verses 57 through 62. This is an amazing, amazing glimpse of Jesus' non-salesmanship, okay? As they were walking along the road, a man said, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, wonderful. These guys have been arguing over who's the greatest. You're the kind of guy I'm looking for. That was not Jesus' response. As they were walking along the road, the man said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Do you think that guy followed on to Jerusalem? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing not. The text doesn't specify, but I'll tell you this much for certain. Jesus wanted this guy to know this is not going to be easy. He said to another man, follow me. Now, that's an unbelievable opportunity, okay? If right now, Secretary Marco Rubio, new Secretary of State. If Marco Rubio stopped by campus and said to one of our wonderful staff, listen, I've been watching your stuff online. I believe that you are just what I need as my assistant. Would you please come with me? I think at the very least they'd be tempted to say, yes, sir, I can do that. I can take a job with the Secretary of State today. Yes, sir. When do you need me to start? Okay? Okay, I'm going to have to tell these folks, I need to give them notice. I mean, I am a responsible person. Well, suppose it wasn't Secretary Marco Rubio. Suppose it was Vice President J.D. Vance. That's even higher rank than Secretary of State. If the Vice President said, I need you on my team, you'd probably take that as an opportunity from God, wouldn't you? Jesus says to this guy, follow me, and the guy says to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Oh my goodness, I had no idea your father had died. His father may not have died. The idea is I've got to stay here and take care of family responsibilities, and after I've handled all of that, then I can follow you. Jesus says, we don't have that kind of time. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm about to die. Follow me. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The dead, how's a dead person going to bury a dead person? The Bible is very, very clear. Not only are we God's enemies, but we are spiritually dead apart from Christ. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. We don't have time for that. Well, aren't we supposed to love our family? Okay, I'll remind you, when Jesus' family came to pull him away from what he was called to do, Jesus wouldn't even go outside to talk to them. They'd made a journey to get where he was because they thought he was out of his mind because his mom heard he wasn't eating. He was skipping meals in order to, you know, heal the sick and cast out demons and raise the dead and stuff like that. So we got to stop what he's up to because he's just going overboard. He's too distracted from what really matters, which is normalcy. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So this kingdom thing that Jesus is always talking about, and that his followers, once they know him and they've received the Spirit, are going to spend the rest of their lives proclaiming. This kingdom is about a relationship with the King. And Jesus is the King. Only wholehearted trust, which will manifest itself in devotion, surrender, obedience, is the kind of faith that we need. It's not just an intellectual faith. Yes, I believe it's true. But I don't want to get too involved. Okay, yeah. I know there's a God. There has to be a God. And yes, from what I've learned, there's a lot of evidence that Jesus really existed. But as far as his rising from the dead, I don't know. I really haven't taken time to look at that. If you don't know whether or not it's true, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to dig? Are you going to investigate? Are you going to try and learn all you can? If somebody was telling you this medicine can cure that illness that you've been battling your whole life. I know because I had that same illness. And this medicine absolutely cured me. And I want to give you some. Would you say, it's interesting. You say you had the same thing? Okay, well maybe sometime I'll be interested in that. You're a moron. It is insane if you know you've got a problem not to be interested enough in a solution to investigate when it's being offered to you. Jesus offers eternal life to all who put their trust in him. Check it out. Investigate. Learn, and I say without reservation, anybody who wants to know the truth will find it. If you're determined not to find out, you're dead. If you're determined, maybe later I'll look into it, you're behaving like a fool. This is life and death. This is forever we're talking about. I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, come to Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.